Nehemiah chapter 4. This is the second part of the study that we got into this morning on the subject of God fighting for His people. Let's read this again. But it came fast that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth. He took great indignation, mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these people, Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was spying, that is his sidekick, he's standing right there with him. He said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Now Nehemiah turns to the Lord. Nehemiah says, hear, O God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. Somebody said, that's just not no way to pray for your enemy. Huh? Is that an inspired prayer?
Sure is.
Don't you believe it is? Mm-hmm. So he said, let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they provoke thee to anger before the builders. So that's the end of his prayer. Relatively short, and he turns around and starts to work again. So we are so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. I like that thing, don't you? They had a mind to work. But it came past that when Sanballat, battle's not over with, they start back working, start building the wall, digging those old stones up out of the rubbish, laying those things back in place. I was thinking about how many times Jerusalem has been torn down and rebuilt. The wall. You know, God, you know, it ought to be evident that God somewhat centers on that area over there, doesn't he? Everything comes right back around the old Jerusalem, that area over there. Did you know the Mediterranean Sea? Mediterranean. That's the middle of the world. That's the middle of the world. That's where everything's coming back around to today, isn't it? Over there in that area there? What's going on, you wonder? I think that's where the consummation of the ages is going to take place, right over there. Maybe getting pretty close to it. I don't know. I'm not a prophet. Neither the son of a prophet. I'm just, try to be a student of the Word of God and try to, you know, God unveiled a few things, put them together. I don't know what's going on, but God's doing something, isn't he? God's doing something. It's not just a coincidence that after 2,000 years, here Israel gathers back over there in their old homeland, been completely dominated by the Muslims for all those years. Fought over, Jerusalem been fought over back and forth. I think before the Turks finally took it over, between 1200 and 1300 A.D., for the last time, and then dominated it up until the turn of the 20th century. About the last crusader that went in there was old Richard the Lionheart. He led a led a bunch out of Great Britain in there and to fight the Turks. Over what were they fighting over? Jerusalem. It had been rebuilt. It had been torn down and totally plowed under in 70 A.D. by the Romans. It had been rebuilt. It's back and forth. And here it is. I mean, the Babylonians had come in 606 B.C. and had taken off captive what was left in the land and tore the old city down, burned everything that would burn. There it lays under rubbish. And there's stones in there. Stones that were cut and laid in the walls of the old city Jerusalem. And so here they go, digging for those stones. Stones. That just keeps carrying me back to what Peter said about you and I being lively stones, living stones. Set in the spiritual temple of Christ. Christ the chief cornerstone. And that's what I'm doing. I'm digging for stones. That's what we're in this world for. Digging for stones. Hey, we're digging through the rubbish. Trying to find stones. That Christ's temple might be built. He's given us, he's let us find a few, hasn't he? Reckon there's any more? Huh? Let's look for them.
Yeah.
Let's dig for them. Let's go through the rubbish and try to find them. That's what we're in this world for. That's what we're here for. So we built, verse 6, so built we the wall, and all the wall were joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind of work. But, and there's always that but, it came to pass that when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabians, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. The harder you work, the madder it makes the devil. Guarantee. The more we labor together for the sake of Christ and the gospel and the enhancement of the kingdom, look out. The more it's going to stir up the wrath of the wicked one. Reason why he works so hard against the church. And if you go to Revelation chapter 12, that's what he works against. He can't get to Christ. He can't get to the woman's child, so he breaks out in wrath against the woman. That's the church. That's us. The child's up there. The man Christ Jesus. He's on the throne.
Amen.
So he vents his wrath toward the woman. His precious church. And so it says they conspired. All of them. Together. Well, we better stick together. Because I guarantee you the kingdom of the wicked one is together.
Right.
With one objective. And conspire all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem. That's the church. And what? Hinder it. Nevertheless, here you go again, verse 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decaying, deteriorating, run out. And there is much rubbish. Still a lot of rubbish we got to dig in. We got to dig through. We got to clean out. We got to clean out. That's the ministry. Look over here, Jeremiah. Just come to mind. You look at Jeremiah just a minute. Jeremiah chapter 1. The Lord showed me this a long time ago and said, son, this is where you are. Right here. Verse number 4, we'll just break through some here. Verse, then the word of the Lord came unto me, said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And said, and then said I, oh, that's me here. Who am I? You mean this? This little country bumpkin with a peanut brain? That's what I said. Lord, you mean you want me to preach the Word of God? I'm not qualified. I'm not fit. I can't do it. I said that. I tried my best to get out of it. And Miss Patsy was sort of upset about it too at the time. When the Lord really put us to the test, she said, but this is before God saved her. You know, it took 7 years of my preaching before the Lord saved her. Wasn't it about 7 years? All right. She sort of objected to this thing that I was going to preach. And she said, I didn't marry a preacher. I said, you're dead right there. Everything but a preacher. But, can't argue with God. Can't fight God. Yeah, he said, I sanctified you, set you apart, and ordained. That's before you're born. A prophet. And I said, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. For I'm just a child. Ignorant. Not mature enough. Can't speak. But the Lord said unto me, the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces. I wrote this in the front of my first old Bible. Just wrote it. Where I could look at it before I open my mouth to say anything. You just have to do it. It's not in the front of my Bible now. It's in this brain right here a little bit. It's always coming out. Be not afraid of the faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day, here it is right here, set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. So what? What's the first thing he had to do? Root out. I can't find a word nowhere in the Bible where God sent a man out to build the state's largest Sunday school. Amen. Right. Can't do it. Can't find any room whatsoever for this mega church movement out here. Everything in the Bible that I can find is against that stuff. Yeah, to root out and to pull down. Yeah. I'm gonna tell you right now, preaching is hard work. Preaching is hard work. I'm about to wash this shirt sure as well. I'm sweating all up under you right now. Won't get to wag for one time. Preach to you folks time and time again. But I'm going to tell you, it's like preaching, it's like plowing new ground every time I get up. Hands are cold. I'm about asking something. Pastor, your hands are cold. There ain't no blood there. It's hard work. There's a spirit that opposes this thing. There's a spirit in the unseen world that's here. Don't want you to know nothing. Don't want you to get anything.
Right.
I'm telling you what's the truth now. Serious business. Yeah. Root out, pull down, and to destroy. Oh, my soul, most of my preaching is try to wash the stuff out of your brain that's been put there before the truth comes. Some of you have been raised up under sound doctrine. Thank God for it. You just cut your teeth on it. But I'm going to tell you this psalm. It was also raised up, bred and born, born and bred under rubbish.
Right.
It's hard to get the truth through. Difficult. I can feel it. I can sense it. I can tell it. It's a strain. To throw down. Look at this. You've got one, two, three, four things you gotta do before you can build and plant. Huh? That's the difficult thing right there. That's the laboring. Once you get down to where you can start building and planting, oh, blessed be the Lord. Oh, blessed be the Lord. That's the joy of it, to build and to plant. But you're always having to root up and pull down and to throw out. Huh? All right, look over here again. Verse 9. Nevertheless, he said, we made a prayer to God. That's the second time he prays it. Verse 4, here again, verse 9. Verse 4, he prayed in light of the opposition. Verse 9, it's again. The opposition. First three verses, you got the history there of what opposed the Jews. Old Sanballat and all his cohorts, cronies. And then you come back, they go back to work there, he said, nevertheless we built a wall. And all of a sudden here they come again. Never stop. The devil never stops.
Right.
He's a destroyer of souls. A murderer from the beginning. He's after your soul. He's after your children's souls. He seeks to destroy. God, help us to see this. And here he comes again. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. Set a watch against them day and night because of them. Here it comes again, verse number 10. Trouble on the outside, here comes trouble on the inside. Paul said, fears without, fears within. And Judah said, that's the Jews. The Jews said, we could put it that way, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. We just can't do it. Just can't do it. I think that's about where I got to this morning, wasn't it? I think that's about where it was. So here we come to the second part of this lesson here, which I've titled, The Peril to the Work of the Church. The trouble. Perilous time. Paul said it was coming, didn't he? He wrote to Timothy, he said, in the last days, watch out, perilous time is going to come. Trouble. Trouble, trouble, trouble. Church has always been troubled. Always been in a battle.
Right.
I'm talking about the Lord's church, folks. I'm not talking about man's outfit out here.
Right.
Always been in trouble. You see this from verse 10 through 12. Here it comes again. Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, this is on the outside, our adversary said, they shall not know, neither shall see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. We're tired and we're scared.
Yeah.
That's what he said. We're tired, we're worn out, and we're scared. We can't finish this work. We cannot build this wall. It's too great a burden for us. But I'll encourage you once again, go over and read the conclusion on each one of those seven letters to the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. And see if they do not end with him that overcometh.
That's right.
With him that overcometh.
Amen.
Who's going to win this battle? Who's going to see the glory of Christ? Him that overcometh. Verse 12. It came fast that when the Jews, which dwelt by them, came, they said unto us 10 times from all places which ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. They told us at least 10 times that they're gonna destroy us. They're gonna destroy us. So here's the peril. Eugene Peterson's version of this thing again. He said, what you're saying here, we've been told 10 times over, no use. Forget it. The enemy's done warned us, you're not going to build the wall. They just continued to send their couriers in here, and they tell us left and right, they tell us on every hand, at least 10 times, you're not going to do it. We're going to see to it that you're not going to do it. So what do we have here? Well, you have the craft and the violence of the foes of the church pictured here. Wonder how many folks around throughout the area, community and county, whatever. Well, how many folks has disdained this thing? Huh? I bet you if I've been asked one time, I've been asked 1,000 times 37 years, is your church growing down there? You get tired of hearing that, don't you, that question? Is it my business? Huh? Is it my business? Well, is it their business? I mean, is that what it's all about? If I was looking for church growth and church growing programs and church methods of growth, I'd have reverted to that a long time ago. And if I was looking for it to come out of what I'm preaching, I'd have quit a long time ago. But that's the foe. That's the foe. Yeah, you're not doing nothing down there. You're not doing nothing. Think how many folks say that. Well, we've been around here, around this community, 25, 30 years. That little old church just never had done nothing down there. We've heard it 10 times over. Right? You're not going to do anything. You're not building anything. Well, we'll see, won't we?
Amen.
We'll see. Man's work's not over when he dies, you know that?
Right.
That's what Paul said. It follows into glory. Follows into the judgment. Whether it be a good work or a bad work, it's going to follow him to the judgment. So the craft and the violence of its foes, that's a peril to the work of the church. The good work of Nehemiah was in serious danger from these two causes. The craft and the violence of its foes. The enemy said this, they shall not know neither see till we come in the midst of them and slay them and cause the work to cease. I tell you how many times the devil said that. No telling how many times, Randy. The devil said that. But notice, here was force combined with subtlety. The enemy would surprise and slay them. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not smart enough to figure him out. I'm talking about the enemy. I'd never deceive you there, my dear ones. Listen, the devil has surprised me more times than one. He's hit me on my blind side.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think both sides is blind. Mm-hmm. Or he hits me from every side. And he's got an objective, just like old Sanballat here. He's got an objective to hit us where he can, when he can, that the work may cease. I'm going to tell you this. He may surprise us, but he never surprises my God.
Amen.
He's always ahead.
Amen.
Always ahead of him. And I'll tell you something else that's evident here. Verse 1 through 4, again verse 7 through 9. The enemy never gives up the fight. Hey, therefore the church should never cease using its recourse and its corporate weapon, which is prayer. In both of the contexts that we have here. Twice it said, when the enemy rose up against him, verse 4, Nehemiah prayed. When the enemy rose up even with greater wrath to destroy the work, Nehemiah prayed. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Oh, I tell you, our Lord spoke a parable. He said that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. That is, to pray consistently and never quit.
Right.
tell you a good portion to fits right in here. I was going to turn to it to save time. I'm going to let you do it. Just write it down. Go to 2 Chronicles when you have it. Go to it tonight when you get home. And read the entire chapter. See what old Jehoshaphat was up against over there. And how that they were cast upon the Lord. And how that God assured Jehoshaphat and his people not to fear the enemy. He said, because I'm going to fight the battle for you. It's not your battle, it's my battle. He said, now, hey, don't sit on your hands. Don't rest on your knees. He said, put the army in array. Put them in position. Set them up as ambushes. And when those Moabites come up against you, he said, let me take care of it. I'll just give you old Peterson's rendition of that. You go read it when you get home. The Ammonites and the Moabites mistakenly attacked those from Mount Seir. They went out to attack the Jews under Jehoshaphat. And all of a sudden, they mistakenly attacked Mount Seir. That's the descendants of old Esau. and it says, and massacred them. Then further confused, they fought the wrong crowd. Peter said, then further confused, they went at each other and all ended up killed. They started fighting one another. See how God can confuse the enemy? It says that Judah came over the hill, the rise, looking into the wilderness for the hordes of barbarians, the Moabites. He said they looked and they just looked on a killing field. Wasn't none of the dead men out there. that's a good story. Yeah. There's a bunch of them in the Bible like that. Said not a living soul was among them. They didn't have to lift the first spear, pull the first sword out of the sheath. They just did what God told them. You just get ready and I'll take care of it.
Amen.
It's like he did when he sent Joshua into the land. He said, don't worry about him. We'll take care of him with the hornets. I'll run them out with the hornets. Hey, do you believe we're still serving the same God? Do you think this job's too big for us? Oh, my. So that's the foe outside. Craft, filled with craft and violence and subtlety. Now you've got the problem on the inside. Faint-heartedness. The faint-heartedness of the church's friends. We're friends with one another, aren't we? You see that in verse 10 through 12. Again, Peterson puts it in these words. But soon word was going around, verse 10, in Judah. The builders are pooped. The rubbish piles up. We're in over our heads. We can't build this wall. And all this time our enemies were saying, they won't know what hit them. Before they know it, we'll be at their throats, killing them right and left. That will put a stop to the work. The Jews, who were their neighbors, kept reporting, they have us surrounded. They've got us outnumbered. We might work with. They have us surrounded. They're going to attack. If we heard it once, we've heard it 10 times over. But what did Nehemiah do? Huh? He prayed. He prayed. I'm going to give you this and I'm done. The greatest the great encouragement to the work of the church can really be summed up in one word in this passage here and a phrase. One word and a phrase. The word is found there in verse 9. Huh? You see it? Nevertheless. That's an important word. Nevertheless. Nevertheless. And here's the phrase. You got it 1, 2, 3, 4 times. At least 4 times. The phrase is, it came to pass. That's the great encouragement to this work. Nevertheless, it doesn't make any difference what the enemy says, what the enemy seeks to do, how much the enemy fights, whether it's inside the church or outside the church. Nevertheless, God is going to accomplish all His purpose, and He'll trump over you if you get in His way.
Amen.
He'll tread you under His feet. He'll destroy you just as sure as I'm sitting up here in this pulpit. If you get in His way. We got recourse. Nehemiah prayed. We pray. And you can bank on this. Whatever the circumstance is, Bo, Randy called for prayer back there. The job, work's going down. No work out there. Nevertheless, God's in control. And it shall come to pass. Whatever the circumstance is, it shall come to pass. You see it in verse number 7? But it came to pass. That's in regards to the enemy. And it came to pass. You see it in verse number 12? And it came to pass. See it in verse number 6, verse number 15? And it came to pass. Verse number 16? And it came to pass. I'll guarantee you that everything comes to pass. And this too shall come to pass. And when it's all over, said, and done, my blessed King Jesus is going to have the victory. The church is going to enjoy the victory with Him. The church has already entered into His triumph. And just like our blessed Redeemer, our Savior, who suffered before the glory, we're going to suffer before the glory. Those that suffer with me, He says, shall reign with me. All right. Okay.
Number 418 in the hymn books. We'll stand.